They ain't misbehaving. They're just behaving.
Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you.
Welcome to this episode of Ain't Misbehaving.
I'm Dr. Louisa, and I'm here to talk about your pets, some problems you may have, and this week's bonus question.
Well, it's about time we talked about cats. But before we do, let's talk about last episode's bonus question. Last episode's bonus question was, in the United States, what is the main cause of divorce? Well, no one can get divorced if they don't get married. So that means that marriage is the main cause of divorce. So, on to cats. People may think that having a cat is easy. They are pretty independent, and as long as they are fed, they are okay with life. And some are snugglers that give us a lot of love. And if they do bad things like clawing the furniture and leaving various disgusting presents on your bed, all you need to do is to make them an outdoor cat. Not so fast. There are some consequences of having outdoor cats. Some that can harm the cat, and some that can have environmental consequences. Did you know that the International Union for Conservation of Nature lists domestic cats as one of the world's worst non-native invasive species, along with goats and kudzu? Now, don't get me wrong, I like cats, and some of my cats have been outdoor cats. More on that later. And I like goats. I had a job in vet school milking goats. Of course, they were confined and not stripping the landscape of vegetation. Kudzu, I'm not so sure about. I have seen kudzu forming the silhouette of houses, trees, telephone poles, like some creepy green frosting. On one of my road trips, we stopped at a convenience store in Tennessee. My friends went in, and I looked at the kudzu at the edge of the parking lot. I swear it had grown half an inch by the time they had bought their pop and chips. And as a veterinarian, I can tell you, cats are mightier than kudzu. So let's talk about cats. A peer-reviewed study published January 29, 2013, and authored by scientists from the Smithsonian Conservation Biology Institute and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has found that bird and mammal mortality caused by outdoor cats is much higher than has been widely reported, with the annual bird death now estimated to be 1.3 billion to 4 billion, and mammal deaths likely 6.3 billion to 22.3 billion individuals every year. Cats are predators. This is why they chase the red laser dot around the floor and sometimes up the wall. This is why they pounce on crinkly bits of paper and plastic. This is why they might grab your arm with their front paws and kick with their hind legs. They are trying to disembowel your arm. Cats really want to be outside. So much going on, so much to pounce on, so hard to keep them inside. I've seen this with my own cats. Let me tell you about Limpet. Limpet was a rescue from the Tacoma Humane Society. She was found in the bushes with a broken femur. I was working at the Humane Society that day as relief for the vet who was on vacation. So I was the one to examine the cat and decide her fate. The break was high up on her thigh, too close to the hip to put a cast on. Anything that might have been used to stabilize the leg would actually act as a pendulum to make her leg move even more. There were three options. One was to surgically implant a pin in her femur. The Humane Society did not have the equipment to perform orthopedic surgery, so that was out. The second was euthanasia. Who would adopt a cat with a broken leg? But of course, for me, that option was out. The third option was complete cage rest for 4 weeks. That meant everything that went into her body and everything that came out of her body happened in the crate. That also meant that I was the one to take her home to care for her. I told the Humane Society staff that this was just to foster her until her leg healed. That wouldn't be my first foster fail, or my last. I felt confident that cage rest would work for her for two reasons. One is that it was a closed fracture, meaning that the bone did not puncture the skin, and the probability of infection was greatly reduced. The other reason was something I learned early on in my years of vet practice. A client had brought in a cat with a front leg fracture. After looking at the x-ray, I thought that wiring the bone together would be the best way to treat it, but I didn't have any wire. So I called a colleague to see if I could get some wire from him. He said sure, and assured me that the procedure would go well. He told me, "Well, you put the cat and the bones in the same room and they heal up pretty well." Worked for that cat, and I felt it would work for Limpet too. So I brought her home, set her up in a crate, and listened to her scream. She didn't know her leg was broken. She was just PO'd that she couldn't get out and run around. And she lived up to her name. She healed well, but for about a year had a residual limp. And when we sat down, she was right up on an available lap, clinging like the little marine mollusk she was named for. But now she was PO'd that she couldn't go outside. She had obviously been outside when she was young. That is where she was found, with a broken leg. She knew that glorious things awaited outside. I felt sorry for her, but didn't want her to like being outside. So I sat her down and made a deal with her. Once it snowed, and the snow was piled 6 inches deep, then she could go out. I figured that would be so unpleasant that she would want right back in. And I figured that it hadn't snowed that much for many years. But that winter, we had a freak storm that dumped 6 inches of snow. So true to my promise, I carried her out to the backyard and dumped her in a snowdrift. All that white snow with just a little black head peeking out. I thought, that'll teach you to want to go outside. But she looked at me, wide-eyed, and then, as if to say, "Cool, thanks," she bounded off to frolic. She was born an outdoor cat, and even with her rough start in life, Limpet was a good hunter. We had a beautiful flowering plant called Crocosmia. The brilliant yellow and red flowers attracted a lot of hummingbirds, and the hummingbirds attracted Limpet. And even with her bunged-up leg, she would lie below the plant like a shadow in the ground and wait. An unsuspecting hummingbird flies by and whoop! Caught by the shadow. The next day, we dug out the Crocosmia and gave them to a catless friend. So, say you aren't a big bird lover. They nest where you don't want them, they break the quiet with their calls, and they poop on your car. Who cares if the cats kill the birds? They get the mice, too. But if you are a cat lover, especially in love with the furry bundle purring on your lap, there are some other statistics you should know. Indoor cats live on average 10 to 15 years, while outdoor cats live on average 2 to 5 years. I had an outdoor cat that managed to make it to 6 months. I was living in a trailer park while going to vet school. A classmate gave me 2 kitten sisters, sweet brown tabbies. I named one Nannerl, after Mozart's sister. It sounded so cat-like. Nannerl. The other one, I had to think about what name to give her. Mozart had only one sister. I loved Bach's music, but Bach's sister was named Maria. Meh. His 20 children also had very uninteresting names, like Katharina Doria, Wilhelm Friedman, Maria Sophia, Johann Christoph, Carl Philipp Emanuel, Johann Gottfried Bernard, Leopold Augustus, Christiana Sophia Henrietta, Gottfried Heinrich, Christian Gottlieb, Elisabeth Juliana Frederica, Ernestus Andreas, Regina Johanna, Christiana Benedicta Luisa, Christiana Dorothea, Johann Christoph Friedrich, Johann August Abraham, Johann Christian Johann Carolina, Regina Susanna. Phew! Guess there were no stops on his organ. But it is hard to purr with those names. So I asked the kitten, "What is your name? I'll give you this tuna if you tell me your name." The sheep replied, "Purrit." "Oh, perfect. No, no, I'm Puritska." We had fun in our quiet little cul-de-sac. I made them a cat door so that they could go out if I was late getting home from school. But I did the responsible thing and had them both spayed. 5 days later, I come home and was greeted by Nenurl, but no Puritska. I walk around the trailer, and there, on the gravel road, was a cat. A flat cat. The only reason I knew it was Puritska was by the surgical sutures on her belly from her spay. The speed in the trailer park was 5 miles per hour. I can only say that this was a lesson learned. So cars are a great danger to any animal, including our pets. But there are other dangers you may not know about. Where I live in Fircrest, I have seen coyotes and the remains of cats that were killed by them. You can tell there are coyotes around your neighborhood by their scat. That's feces for the non-biologists. Coyote scat has a twirl at the end, sort of like a twist tie. That's because of the hair going through their digestive system. And some of that is possibly cat hair. Other dangers are toxins, such as antifreeze and rat bait. Cats can be attracted to antifreeze, and if they lap it up, it will form crystals in their kidneys and kill them. If you get to a vet right away, they can give an antidote, but if it is more than a few hours later, the cat will die of kidney failure. Rat bait is an anticoagulant embedded in grain. The rodent eats the grain and then bleeds to death. Cats may not eat rat bait directly. They aren't a grain-eating species. But if they eat a rat or a mouse that has eaten it, the anticoagulant will get into the cat's system and cause bleeding, internally and externally. You may see the external bleeding from the eyes or if there's a wound, but internal bleeding may not be so obvious. You may see pale gums or the cat not wanting to get up due to lack of oxygen. They may even collapse. There is an injection your vet may give to counteract it, but some of the newer rat baits need prolonged and expensive treatment. Other things that can happen are abscesses from cat fights. Cat abscesses are pockets of infection, generally caused by a bite. Scratches are often gouges in the skin, but bites are really an injection of infection. Bacteria are driven deep into the tissues, and in a few days, a huge bag of pus has developed. Cat mouths contain Pasteurella multocida, a dangerous bacteria. Human bites can be worse, since humans have more bacteria in their saliva. Cat abscesses can be a big problem. If left alone, the abscess will get bigger and bigger. If the cat is lucky, it will burst, spewing blood and pus all over. Then it will drain a bit, but if not kept open, it will reseal and grow again. Blah. Abscesses can tell you a lot about a cat. If the abscess is on the head, he is a fighter. If the abscess is on the rump, he contends that discretion is the better part of valor and runs away. Aside from abscesses, diseases such as feline leukemia, feline immunosuppressive virus, feline infectious peritonitis, rhinotracheitis, Khaleesi virus, panleukopenia, which is the feline distemper, and rabies can all put a cat at risk. Some of these we can vaccinate for. By the way, even indoor cats need to be vaccinated against rabies. Bats can get into houses, and sick bats are easily caught. This is why rabies vaccination is required for both cats and dogs for public health reasons. Are you frightened now? Are you ready to keep your cat indoors? Well, there are some halfway measures and some things to keep your indoor cat happy. We'll talk about those next time. Until then, here is this episode's bonus question. What word starts with an E, but has only a single letter in it? For the answer, stay tuned. If you think you know the answer, email it to info@radiotacoma.org with bonus question in the subject line. And we'll talk about that in the next episode of Ain't Misbehaving.
Join us again for more sagas from the world of pet behavior problems. This is Dr. Louisa reminding you,
They ain't misbehaving. They're just behaving.
I don't stay out late. Don't care to go. I'm home about 8, just me and my radio. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you.